Ramsey TV.
Boy, I have got to hand it to William B. Fay and Wes Vollenkamp for their organizational prowess in the Omaha Conference. That's what I call it. That's not the official name of it. I forget the official name of it, but it's coming up in September. All the information can be found at my website on my homepage, martinzender.com. I'll link you to it down here. You go to martinzender.com on my homepage. There will be a link to all the information you need. Time, place, hotel, everything. And folks, I've been doing conferences for 28 years, speaking at them and hosting them. And never in my 28 years, I've probably done over 300 conferences, have I ever seen a promotional video for a conference. These gentlemen made a promotional video. I think Wes Vollenkamp made it. So I'm going to link you to that also. So go to my homepage. I'll link it below. MartinZender.com. Pretty easy to remember. There's going to be a link there to the information and to the promotional video. It's fantastic. This place is beautiful. So go there. And folks, it sounds like this conference is going to be loaded. A lot of people are going to be here. Don't you miss out. It's in the middle of the country, 30 miles south of Omaha, Nebraska. So I expect 1,000 people there. So come one and come all. Now, I've been speaking about Paul in Philippians, that he's stretching forward towards something. You know, it is so gracious of God to provide something to strive for. And even though it's presented as something to strive for, of course, it's still God operating in us, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, to will and to work for the sake of his delight. Nevertheless, this is presented as something to gain. Paul uses all that language. We're just going to see it more here. So this wonderful quote-unquote opportunity is made for those who want more, who have the competitive spirit like I have, like Paul had, like many of you have. But some of you don't, and that's okay. We're going to find that out here later in Philippians chapter 3. You know, this wonderful opportunity was made for those of us who want to race for a prize, just as the lake of fire was invented for certain people. Oh, the lake of fire, the second death. That it was tailor-made for people that just need to be dead for the 50th. Talking about really bad apples. Talking about people like, you know, Billy Graham, Nancy Pelosi, Genghis Khan. It was made for these folks. It kind of, you know, they're not going to be tormented for eternity. They're going to be dead for an eon. But they're going to be changed and vivified. Because as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, even Nancy Pelosi, Joel Osteen, and Genghis Khan, and Billy Graham. It's amazing. I know. It's fantastic. All right, so Philippians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 12, not that I have already been perfected, yet I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also that for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus. I elaborated on this verse yesterday, and I ended with a hell of a statement yesterday. Don't ask me to repeat it. I forget what it was, but it was great. I'm pretty sure. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped. So this guy's living on the edge, and he likes it. He likes the grit of going through the trials, getting through the trials. He's not ordering his own trials, but there's a grit that sustains this man. Again, this is above and beyond salvation. Nobody grasps for salvation. So not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped yet one thing. Forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out to those in front toward the goal, am I pursuing for the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. Wow, this is loaded. Forgetting indeed those things which are behind. If anybody had to forget things that were behind, it was this man. What was behind him? The ugliest career in religious history. Persecuting the saints, persecuting those who embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. This man persecuted those people. God knows the details. I mean, Paul knows the details. He might have personally killed people. He certainly arranged for people to be imprisoned, beaten, and killed. Just ugly, ugly guy. So forgetting those things which are behind, that's what you have to do. Forget it. Paul grasped the truths of justification and conciliation and the fact that he was designated beforehand. And so he's forgetting those things which are behind. But he's not then putting his mind into neutral. He's not putting his life into neutral. This isn't like just forgetting something. It's forgetting something and stretching out to the things that are in front. That's what we're doing. We're stretching out toward the things that are in front. You know, it's a really scary thing. Paul was actually stretched out several times, five times by the Jews. He was beaten by the Jews. He was beaten with rods in Philippi. He was stretched out literally, and his back was rent for the sake of Christ Jesus, for the sake of something great. But metaphorically speaking, he's always looking ahead, not just in gleeful satisfaction of the pleasure that awaits in the next life at the snatching away of being made immortal, but also stretching forward as he was living every day, stretching forward toward assisting the saints, stretching forward towards apprehending more and more of the glories of Christ Jesus. Toward the goal am I pursuing for the prize. A goal, a prize. This cannot in any way be salvation. Salvation is not a prize. You don't stretch out toward salvation. Salvation comes to you via your being condemned and cursed in Adam and then being justified by Christ Jesus. The prize of God's calling above. This is some kind of incredible glory above and beyond the glory of being in the body of Christ. The only thing I can think of is that it's a place of ruling and reigning. As I quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we are suffering together with him, we shall be reigning together also. It's an important place. It's a place of preeminence, even within the body of Christ. But as I told you several weeks ago, or last week, 2 weeks ago, even those who are the greatest in the body of Christ, like Paul, they will lay down their lives. They will seek to lift others up. They will not lord it over anyone. And we're going to see this here. I'll just read it. This is so excellent what comes next. Now, Paul says in verse 15, whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. This is what he's been talking about. Ruling and reigning, racing, stretching, putting oneself out there for the prize of the high calling above in Christ Jesus. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. Maybe. You don't have to be. Verse 15, listen to this. This is so gracious. It's so wonderful. And if anything, you are differently disposed. That is, if this doesn't appeal to you, if stretching out, if suffering evil with the evangel doesn't appeal to you, that's okay. If in anything you're differently disposed, this also shall God reveal to you. I'm reading the scripture here. This is so compassionate. God will reveal it to you if this calling above, this extra thing, this cherry on top of salvation. Oh, wait a minute, it's whipped cream, nuts, and cherries. More than one cherry here. At least three. On top of the ice cream sundae of salvation. On top of the ice cream sundae of salvation. There is available for the taking. Peanuts. Whipped cream. Chocolate fudge. and at least three cherries. But if you're satisfied with the sundae, God will reveal it to you. And then this, in verse 16, moreover, in what we outstrip others, there is to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. What does Paul mean here? Well, Paul knew that he was special. The first member of the body of Christ, his life was designated to be a life of suffering. Christ Jesus revealed that to him on day one. I will intimate to you that those things which you must be suffering for my sake. Paul knows this is not for everybody. He's not telling everybody here, listen here, you Philippians, if you're worth anything, you're going to be like me. And if I don't see you stretching and running and racing for the prize, then, well, I'm just going to look down on you and sorry about you, and it's too bad you're not more like me, and what's the matter with you lazy people? None of that. Because he knows this is not for everybody. He knows, and it's fine with him. So if anybody outstripped other people, that is, if anybody was really racing for the gold and having this high disposition, that is outstripping others, that is racing ahead of them, looking back, seeing people in your dust. Paul says, if that exists at all, which it does, there's to be a mutual disposition. In other words, there's not to be a looking down on the people who are not disposed to the high calling. No one should be looking down on anybody. In fact, it should be the opposite, and it was with Paul. He lowered himself, just like Christ Jesus lowered himself, to consider other people to be better than him. He knew who he was, but he considered other people better than him. That's where this mutual disposition comes in, to be observing the elements. What are the elements? The basics of salvation. So when it comes down to being in the body of Christ, there are the elements explained by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. Those are the elements. The elements are probably, I mean, those are the elements of salvation. The elements also probably, I would think, would include, not that these are necessary for salvation, but, an understanding of the Aeonian times, an understanding of what death is. Well, no, you have to understand what death is in order to understand the death of Christ. So that is elemental. Definitely one of the elements belonging to salvation. But some of the things belonging to maturity, like this disposition toward other people, a love for other saints, coming more and more to a realization of Christ, the nuances, the details. These are above, I would say these are part of the elements, but they're not the essential elements for salvation. So there's to be in love this mutual disposition toward others. And Paul would tell you, I've told you this many times, I'm in the same boat with all of you. Nobody who's anybody in the body of Christ would ever set themselves up on high, wants other people to worship them. I mean, being admired, that's nice. Paul says, honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. I'm sure that when Paul came to people's house, they honored him. He was an honored guest. Oh, they brought out probably their best silverware or woodenware, earthenware, whatever they had. I wish I was in those days. You know what drives me nuts? I hate clinking noises. Like when dishes hit each other, clink, it just unnerves me. I would have thrived or thriven. Would I have thriven? I would have thriven. I just made up that word. It's a good one. I would have thriven in the days of earthenware where there wasn't this clink, 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 clink. Plates. Oh, I have a pile of paper plates in my cupboard just for the softness of them, just because they don't clink. Clinking tableware, clinking knives and forks and plates, the glazed pottery. Oh, this is horrible. Horrible. I love those days of earthenware. That would have been great. So anyway, I'm sure that people brought out the best earthenware for Paul. Rightly so. They honored him. Rightly so. And that's fine. But that's different than putting someone on a pedestal as if they're not even human. Who was it tried to worship Peter one time? Was it Cornelius? Peter said, get the hell off the ground. What are you doing? This is insane. I'm just a man like you. I'm a man like you. They're all in the same boat with us. Paul's in the same boat with us. I'm in the same boat with you. Peter was in the same boat with the circumcision. It's a great thing to be mutually disposed to one another. And it's even more impressive if you're a Paul and you're kind and merciful and gentle with those who just want to settle in to the body of Christ, find their place, and to get through life the best they can. They're not striving for anything, but that's fine. That's fine. People apologize to me all the time. Say, Martin, you know, I don't read the Bible like I should, but I watch your show. You've read the Bible. You've studied. And I get teaching from you. I learn all about the glories of God in Christ through your teaching. And they're apologizing for this. I say, don't apologize. That's what I'm here for. That's why in the Ecclesia, the book of Ephesians tells us this, God has teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Pastors care for your life. They take care of your practical needs. Teachers bring you to maturity. They bring you meat from the Word of God. And evangelists take the message where it's not named. These are offices today in the body of Christ. Some people say there are no offices in the body of Christ. Everybody's the same. I'm sorry. Everybody's the same in the sense of we should be mutually disposed, but there are those who have gifts. I'm not talking about the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, no miraculous gifts, nothing like that. Just a gift, a disposition, let's put it that way. Gift, I'm nervous about that. They're disposed because God put it in them to teach. So you don't have to apologize. This is what I do. I may have broken my head against the wall, against these scriptures, learning these things for 25 years, and you might get it in 25 minutes. I love that. That's a beautiful thing. So God works the body of Christ together, just like the human body. And that's the analogy, of course. The human body, wonderful organism with its joints, its sinews, its muscles, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose. Oh, it's just a beautiful organism. The body of Christ is the same way. And we are all members of the body of Christ. And the amazing thing is, think of this. Jesus Christ himself is a member of the body of Christ. He's the head of the body. And he is mutually disposed to us. Wow, there's our example, as we read earlier in Philippians. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of one who is mutually disposed. Though he's the king of all, the head of the body, he's mutually disposed to us to the point that he actually came down to this earth voluntarily to partake of our estate and to bring us up to where he is. How about that? That's pretty good.